Moramai. Good morning. I'm Judith Lay and this is Praise, the programme that connects faith and daily life. Manx Radio.
Welcome to the Praise podcast for the 10th of March 2019. Well, after last week's programme from London, we're back on the island for Praise today. Although, if I were to give the programme a theme, it would most certainly be journeys. Later in the programme, we'll once again be journeying with beekeeping expert Harry Owens. But first, a journey of a different kind. Last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, marked the start of the 6 weeks of Lent, our journey to Easter Day. In the Christian faith, the day that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified on Good Friday, rose from the dead and offers to us all the gift of everlasting life. As one of my guests on last week's programme said, these weeks of Lent are a good time to spring clean our lives, to think about what we believe and if our lives truly reflect those beliefs. Journeys often go better if we have company, so as we go through these weeks of Lent to Easter, we'll be joined occasionally by fellow travellers sharing their thoughts, prayers and Bible passages.
Have mercy on me, O God, in your enduring goodness. According to the fullness of your compassion, blot out my offences. Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." Lord God, our Father and Mother, into your hands, into your generous forgiveness and peace, we place ourselves. In the name of Jesus, Amen.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget himself, carry his cross, and follow me. For the man who wants to save his own life will lose it. But the man who loses his life for my sake will find it. Will a man gain anything if he wins the whole world but loses his life? Of course not. There is nothing a man can give to regain his life."
Some people brought children to Jesus for him to touch them, but the disciples scolded those people. When Jesus noticed it, he was angry and said to his disciples, "Let the children come to me, don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Remember this, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on each of them and blessed them.
We bring to your love, O Lord, all who have committed their lives to your service. May they all be one, bound together by your Holy Spirit. Father of mercy, hear us with compassion.
We bring to your love the members of our human families, especially any we find difficult to get on with or to understand, that our love for one another may enter a new dimension of warm and positive caring, seasoned with laughter. Father of mercy, hear us with compassion.
We bring to your love all who have become hard and aggressive through years of festering hate or jealousy, that their unresolved conflicts may be brought to your light and healed. Lord of mercy, hear us with compassion.
Into a dark world a snowdrop comes, a blessing of hope and peace, carrying with it a green heart, symbol of God's renewing love. Come to inhabit our darkness, Lord Christ, for dark and light are alike to you. May nature's white candles of hope remind us of your birth and lighten our journey through Lent and beyond. Amen.
Making us, shaping us,
blessing us, trusting us,
leading us, disturbing us,
empowering us, loving us.
God of our childhood,
God of our growing,
stay with us on our journey and bring us safely home. Amen.
And so, from a reflective journey into Lent to a very real journey into one of the world's poorest countries. Harry Owens, our own local beekeeping expert, and Christian Aid's Anna Burden are just finishing almost 3 weeks in Burundi, where Harry, with financial and practical support from the Isle of Man Beekeepers Federation and with help from Christian Aid, is sharing with the local people his vast knowledge of beekeeping, including making hives and protective clothing from locally available materials, in an attempt to make beekeeping in Burundi as productive as possible, and so to enable these poverty-stricken people to earn some much-needed income and also to have access to good quality honey to supplement their very poor diet. In his first weeks, spent in the north of Burundi, Harry found good quality bees, very small quantities of excellent honey, a woeful lack of knowledge about the correct way to keep bees, but women, young people and skilled carpenters desperate to learn how to make the most of the ideal conditions which Burundi offers for beekeeping. Harry and Christian Aid's Anna Burden have spent the last week in the south of Burundi and sent us these daily reports.
So Harry and I are sitting here Sunday morning thinking about yesterday, Burundi Day 10, and that was the day we visited Donuts. House and hives, didn't we? So how was yesterday?
It was a remarkable day. We were warned that there'd be a little walk. It was some walk. It was quite a gradient cut out, water courses in the footpath there, and then we came across a rock patch. Well, that was just before I got on the motorbike. It was quite unusual, the actual whole situation, quite a difficult place to get to. And then we went to where the house, the habitation is, and the little buildings. went through an alleyway, and there thought, where's the hives? So we had to go down a slope. It was quite steep. But we got to the bees, and again, like the first bees I came across, it was so quiet. But again, the inadequacy of being the instruction, initial instruction, is cries out.
I thought it would be interesting to talk about our sort of impressions of Burundi so far,
yeah,
and the poverty that we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, how are you sort of feeling after the first week?
On reflection, first of all, I'm glad I came. Hopefully we've put them on the right track. My personal opinion is that if we can possibly get them to follow our lead, they'll prosper, but it's going to be a long job. It's just not going to happen by waving a magic wand or be done in 5 minutes. We've got a lot of people there who are interested. They were very, very focused. They're extremely poor people, and this is something that they need to improve their life. And I'm convinced if they go about it methodically, they'll come through.
And it was interesting this evening we met with the country manager, Philip.
Mm.
He was giving a little bit of an overview,
yep,
of the country and the status, mm, and mm, all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
And was saying that the province we've just been in is one of the most densely populated.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons for the poverty.
In the north.
In the north, because almost everyone is farmers.
Yep.
And in the north, some of them only have half an acre, yes, for the whole family to survive,
yeah,
for a whole,
yeah,
year from farming.
Yeah.
So that's quite a challenge, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
Beekeeping, you know, you don't need half an acre for bees, you just need that bit of room. But what their potential is phenomenal.
Mm.
If they go better the other way, it'll supersede their farmland, you know.
It's Burundi day 12, and here we are. We've spent the morning travelling down, mm, south, and,
yeah,
in a different hotel, different ambiance, different background noises.
Yep.
So how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, actually. We got to the beekeepers, which was the prime aim, of course. First of all, we met them at the hub and saw their equipment, and then I went to an apiary, as we would call it, where hives are, and I found the bees absolutely super, as I found, except for one case, that they're easy enough to handle. They're nothing much different to ours. But the beekeeping is absolutely shocking. The poor people have been misled, unfortunately. And I'm hoping that what I'm trying to tell them and trying to show them, they'll pick it up, but it'll take some time. But they're absolutely dead keen. I'm optimistic. I mean, they soak it up, there's no question about it.
When we visited the hub,
mm,
they were well set up with equipment, but some of their comments about the challenges was that it's not really sustainable.
Mm.
They're spending a lot of time in production. Mm. They're not getting that much money back. And what do you think about that?
Well, actually, the amount of honey they've got from what potential is negligible. The quality and the aroma is absolutely brilliant because they're producing it in a manner that is suitable without doubt for human consumption. It's absolutely very pure, but it's marketing. If these bees worked as they should and could, and they'd have that much honey, that they would certainly get something from it. But at the moment, and I can assure you this, they're getting next to nothing in comparison to what they should do. And we've just seen one apiary. It's no different from anywhere else that I've been. So the problem is the fact that they don't know what they're doing. They need our help.
Yeah, I think it's the positive thing,
mm,
from today is that they were struggling with thinking, is it going to be profitable?
Yeah.
Can they continue? But actually,
yeah,
if they follow all your methods,
mm,
you're going to train in tomorrow,
yeah,
they can produce so much more,
mm,
that it will boost their whole hub.
Mm.
They'll get so much more coming in,
yeah,
to make more money, and it can be sustainable, can't it?
Yeah, I'm sure of it. It's the bulk factor. If they have a quantity of honey that's saleable, which I'm sure they have, they'll be able to do something. They couldn't sell it, people will buy it. That's basically what it's all about.
Well, here we are, end of day 13 in the South Wumongay. How was today?
Absolutely brilliant, outstanding actually. I must have been well over 100, do you not think?
100, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in a large room, and they're all set out in military fashion. It's quite amazing. They were in a U-shape, with desks and everything like that before them so they could write and what have you. But it was worthwhile. Again, I imparted basic beekeeping to them, explained the failures and the prospects of improvement, and they really took that on board. There was one chap there, for instance, at the end, and he said, I'm going to produce five times the honey I had this year am taking notice of you. But the whole lot asked pertinent questions, as we found before. They're interested, they're focused, they want to improve. We'll have the opportunity to write out an instruction book for them. They can follow the rudimentary things. And if it's a reference, if they have a problem, look at the book, it will tell them.
The good thing as well, the last few days we've had the country manager here and we've been able to talk a little bit about the future planning, because the project's coming to an end in the next few months and they're at the stages of planning and looking for funding for the next stage. And I think it's really vital that your recommendations go into that, but they seem very open for that as well, don't they?
Surely do.
To make sure that they have a good business plan so they can follow up what you've been saying and see that it sort of gradually rolls out and is sustainable for them.
One thing we did discover, the honey that's produced per province is curtained round in the province, and they need to, by some means or other, by diplomatic means, by the Christian Aid or whatever, to talk to the officials and say, right, this has got to be a country thing, not a province, so they can market the honey. They'll get the money back in due course, and it'll also help if they can market, they can get the proper jars to put the honey in and do proper labels and things like that. The standard I've found down here is absolutely brilliant. The cleanliness of the honey is perfect. There's no criticism whatsoever in it. It's just that they need to get their act together there, that's all.
And we have discovered that there are some hoops to jump in terms of provincial levels and the government licenses and things like that. And I think some of the staff are talking, they might add some advocacy into that, into the project.
Absolutely.
Because they need that, don't they? To be able to push and say, if you want to help your people to have honey and make a profit, they need to
support the province and at the same time supporting the country. That's the thrust.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes. And You can see there are some of these legislations that do hold the people back a bit as well, don't they?
I couldn't agree more. From what I can gather, that the actual rulers are young men who kind of make decisions, and sometimes it's a mistake and they revert back to whatever before. But I don't think they're beyond persuasion in a business factor where everybody's going to benefit.
Yes, yeah, so that needs to be part of the project plan, doesn't
it? Absolutely.
Right, Harry, it's Burundi Day 14. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about today.
Again, I was impressed with the enthusiasm of the ones that came along to do the work on protective clothing and other equipment requiring cloth. They were very, very good, actually. Young ladies there and men, and they achieved a lot. And they're absolutely marvellous the way they get stuck in and do the sewing. We gave them the garments and they copied them well. They used them as a pattern, I should say. And yes, they improvised, because we didn't have the same flat plastic they could use in the veils. So they used wire, and I showed them that to turn the end round so they wouldn't get spiked by them and things like that. But they really set to, and they didn't stop working. No messing around. There was no such thing as tea breaks. And I believe that, Anna, you were interviewed one young lady who was so pleased that she'd been chosen to go there, which that's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, I was talking to her. She's only 20 and done a year technical training after school. Mm. She said, thank you so much. She felt so lucky to be chosen to come, because it's given her a new experience and skill that she can hopefully sell back to the hub so that the beekeepers can have the costumes and it'll be a trade for her, as well as equipping the beekeepers.
It's so humbling, actually, the way they receive us and get dedicated to what they're doing. It's remarkable. And one of the things I think we've achieved is that we've given them an extra tool to possibly improve their life. And in fact, I'm sure that they can work within the hub, as you could call it, and they could do the making of clothing and others making hives. So I'm hoping that our visit will make that much of a difference and they'll start with a new beginning, I hope.
One of Harry's most rewarding days was the one he spent with local carpenters. He was amazed and delighted at their skill and their real enthusiasm to learn how to make beehives.
They were brilliant. Well, they were brilliant anyway, for goodness sake. They're artisans, they're men with use their hands and not machines. So they made the floor, and then I got them introduced into putting the other hive parts, which I'd brought with me, and they put them together, and they got the message then. They saw exactly how things work, and I said to them, as here's a task, just make a mock-up of a brood chamber, which is like, well, a rectangular piece of woodwork. And I thought they were just going to make the rectangular piece of wood, but not so. They set to and they cut the grooves out, which we call rebates. Cut the rebates out, and it was absolutely square and spot on, depths and everything, okay. And the next thing I saw a frame going over with wax in, and they tried it, and they were all delighted it fitted perfectly. So I had these runners which the frames sit on, and I gave them the runners. And no kidding, it was absolutely perfect what they did. So that really made my day. Once they've seen it, they're in business. At the end, they were saying, when are we coming back? We want to get more done and sort of thing. Coupled with that, I had some of the beekeepers who want a refresher course, basically. So we went through some of the stuff involved with beekeeping. With Anna and myself, manufactured these manipulating cloths, which make it a lot easier to go into hives. And I also showed them various other things I know about beekeeping. And it totally and utterly absorbed. And it turned out to me an exceedingly rewarding day. I was so pleased. And I wonder how you got on, Anna.
Yeah, so in the morning, I was taken to visit some of ChristianAid's partner work. And it was very interesting because I discovered the context of where some of these people live. And actually found out that the province we're in now is one of the poorest in Burundi. Yeah. It's a particular area that's been affected by the previous conflicts, and they've had lots of refugees, internally displaced people, which has been difficult. And then they've got one of the highest population densities with people coming in as well. It's one of the hotter areas, and they have this season where they just don't have any rain for a couple of months. So all those challenges mean that there's chronic malnutrition in many of these villages. But it was so encouraging. I visited a project where it was actually a legacy that a supporter in the UK left, a big legacy. It was used for a health project here. And the Anglican Church here and another partner have been basically training people who then train other people, and it's all, they give them diagrams of what a balanced diet looks like and then how to use their tiny bit of land as a kitchen garden so they can actually grow the vegetables themselves. And the results of these women that we saw, we were just amazed. It's been a year and a half since this project started, and they had the highest rate of malnutrition to start off with this village, and they've made the biggest progress since. So they were so happy with the support that ChristianAid has given, and it was just amazing to see. And they said the difference that ChristianAid had made, rather than other NGOs that have come and gone, given food before, they recited that saying that ChristianAid doesn't just give a fish, but they've given helped train to fish. That was really encouraging.
Absolutely right. ChristianAid's responsible for me being here. I would never have dreamed coming out here. Why would I? And I'm privileged and honoured to be able to do that. And I think we've done a heck of a lot. We've achieved a lot. And it's not as if they're just nodding their head and all that. They're dead keen. And they are really switched on. We weren't wasting our time.
Right, it's Burundi day 16. And here we are sitting by Lake Tanganyika on our way back up from the south. So can you tell me about today?
Today, yeah. And I'm just looking over here, and just on Peel Bay with a different temperature and a man out there fishing. But today we went out to a series of hives in quite a precarious route to get to it. We eventually got ourselves organised and everybody was kitted up. I went down and I came across not the traditional hive, but a box hive that's used very much in Kenya. Previous to that, there was a couple of buckets brought to me with comb and that in it. It's rather sad to see what we call brood, which is young bees in sealed form, just like as if they were in the chrysalis stage, with some honey and quite a few dead bees in this bucket. And what they'd done is they tried to take this away and from our hives and get honey off it, which is a total and utter waste of time. And it really saddened me to see them doing that, because the last thing you want to do is take brood away for the sake of a touch of honey that's worth nothing.
It was interesting because they were thinking, why are the bees dying off? Or why are they small in number? Maybe there's some disease, maybe there's some predators. But actually, you found good bees, they just needed care and to become stronger, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't need to be robbed, particularly this time of year, because this is definitely not the time to start taking any honey whatsoever. This is a time they should be feeding them. I've been able to demonstrate the method of being able to feed them. And if they are able, and this is the thing that came home to me, if they possibly can afford the sugar and to mix with water, they will get it back by the honey they produce. Simple as that. All they've got to do is build the bees up. This is like our winter. But by virtue of the fact they're taking honey off them, they're starving the bees, and that's holding them back.
And I think today there was about 5 women and 5 men from the village, and it was great. It was like you gave them a little masterclass. You demonstrated how to do different things, and they looked keen to go and try them themselves, didn't they?
Oh, they were made up. And I'm also made up afterwards when they were given equipment. Because I spoke to one that was one of the leading ladies. She said to me that she was very scared of bees.
Yeah.
But now she's not, because she was able to cover herself up, not get stung, and see how things worked. So we've made a great advance there.
Brilliant. It's a good morning, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you to Christian Aid's Anna Burden for those reports from Burundi, as Harry Owens, the island's beekeeping expert, shares his skills that have the power to transform the lives of some of the world's poorest people. Thank you for listening to this week's Praise Podcast. There's a new Praise Podcast available every Sunday morning. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify via the Manx Radio smartphone app or at manxradio.com. Until we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for your company, and I wish you and those you love every blessing in the days ahead.